Good to see you all tonight. Thanks for coming out. Wednesday nights, midweek, here at First Bossier. So we're starting this type of class on Wednesday nights, and we'll grow from here. In other words, what we anticipate is, let's just say for the next few years, we'll always have some type of general class, and I'll be a part of that to some degree, in the future, of course. And then we just have to take advantage of the Wednesday night when you have childcare opportunities and student ministry going on. So we'll do some women's studies and offer some different things on Wednesday nights or midweek. But we just felt like it was time to do something a little bit for everybody, starting that off. Jeff, how are you, sir? Good to see you. But I'm really glad you guys are here. I love our chapel. It's really cool. And we've done, where's Eddie at? How many weddings have we done in here now? About four? Maybe three or four. So it's been nice for weddings and gatherings and so forth. Just really glad you guys are here. And okay, this will be fun. I'm going to open in prayer. And what I'd like to do is we're going to do everything we can to be done tonight at 7, okay? And so we'll cover a lot of ground and do that. Oh, do you have a card, an index card? Did any of you all get one of those? Okay, what I'd like to do, Steph and I have done this before in like classes that we've hosted or facilitated, but I like to do this, especially with this series. If you've got some questions about end times or the book of the Revelation or Daniel or, you know, Matthew 24, I mean, whatever it is, I want you to give all those to me tonight, okay? And what I'm going to try to do is we'll take 10 minutes every week and say, hey, we got this question on this. Or, I mean, hopefully we'll answer a lot of them as we go through the series, of course. But if there's something particular, you know what I'm saying? I have all the answers. That's right. It's in the book. But honestly, it's why I have Eddie here tonight, because he literally has studied this his entire life. Do you remember that, Eddie? You just woke up. First word you ever said on planet Earth was Revelation. Do you remember that? Anyway, what I'm saying is, people have all kinds of questions. So we'll give it our best shot to answer some of those. Maybe it's not every week that we do that, but I'd love to just get a gauge of what are people wondering and that kind of thing. So anyway. All right, I'm going to pray, and I want to pray specifically as well for a dear brother named Marvin Williams. I don't know if you guys know Marvin, but Miss Dawn Coker and her daddy and Miss Mary, but he's been in the hospital, had a major surgery a week ago, and just, anyway, got to see him yesterday, but he's just a dear brother. So anyway, I just want to pray for him that he'll recover fully and that kind of thing. Grateful for the guests that are here and all that. All right, let's pray. Father, we just take a moment tonight on this midweek, and Lord, I thank you for these precious folks. I thank you for their love for you. I thank you for the guests that are here tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to get in your word and to study and grow, even though this is, you know, kind of a specific focus for the next several weeks. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm grateful for you giving the church insight and vision of what's to come. And so it brings assurance to our hearts today. And we trust you for great things. Lord, I pray specifically for our dear brother, Marvin Williams. I pray, God, that he would heal fully and just even while he's in the hospital tonight, Lord, and just kind of trying to recover and get everything squared away. I just pray for him. I pray for Dawn and Mary and the family, and grateful that we could be there for one another. Thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that rain? All right, this will be good. If we lose power, we have a flashlight. In North Carolina, when I was going to seminary, the very first hurricane that we ever experienced was coming through. We were 3 hours inland, and it was 70 mile per hour sustained winds all night. It was crazy. Literally, one of the professors said, "We've lost power on campus, but we're doing our class in the basement of the major chapel by candlelight." Dear God, I appreciate his commitment to learning and growing, but that was a little wrong. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, hey, Steph, how are you? Good to see you. Thanks for coming. She's sweet. Okay. Okay, turn to the book of the Revelation. I am recording this. I don't believe we're videotaping these, just with some of the different dynamics, but we're definitely audio. Am I correct, Brother Barkley? Awesome. So there are people that already texted me, said, PB, I'm sick, or I just couldn't be there tonight like I thought I could or would. And so we're going to make those available. They'll either be on our website, on a special page, or we'll make it available in some other medium. But Revelation, how many of you guys have studied the book of the Revelation before? Raise your hands. All right, so not everybody, maybe 60% or so. It's challenging. It can be intimidating, no question about it. Several years ago, I just was like, you know, I'm going to teach through this. I'm going to preach through the book of the Revelation. And it took me several months, and I did that. And I just felt like, okay, Lord, I don't know all these things with this, but we're gonna go through this. And it was a very rewarding experience. I did a shorter series here about 5 years ago on a Sunday morning, but I felt like with everything that's going on in our world and so forth, I wanted to kind of use this as our first book to focus on a Wednesday night, okay? So I just want to encourage you with that. Index cards are for questions at the end. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you can certainly turn over there, I'm just going to read this. I want to just bring some introduction here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Because I'm going to ask the question just as we jump into Revelation 1 tonight. Why study the end times? Okay? Why study this? And I love what the Apostle Paul says to believers in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6. He says, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And while they're saying peace and safety, it's then that destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they'll not escape. But you, brother," this is why I wanted to kind of key in on this just a little bit here as we start. "But you, brethren," speaking of believers, "are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We're not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." So why study the end times? Just a brief word there. We are to be alert. We're to be aware. We're supposed to be ready today. So just based on what Paul just said there, okay, the world's going to be asleep, assuming that peace is possible, that governments are in control. And we're not to read the Word of God for just intellectual knowledge, but what does God want to say and do in my life today? So if you came here tonight and said, "Man, I just want to get, you know, these 15 questions answered," that's not bad, but knowledge in and of itself should not be just the ultimate goal. In other words, if you're going to study end times and what God said is going to happen, what's it going to do in your life today? How motivated are you going to be to live? And that's what I'm saying. Paul in Thessalonians is like, look, this is what's going to happen, the day of the Lord. And think about that. The day of the Lord, it's the future period of time where the Lord is involved in global events like never before. And it's going to be a time of judgment and blessing. Judgment for those who have not put their faith in Christ. Blessing for those of us who will already be with Christ and know that we're secure in Christ. And that day, that season of God moving in a very intentional way, which is what Revelation unpacks, okay? It's going to come upon this world, and Paul uses that term, like a thief, suddenly. You know, humanity thinks that we can achieve peace. We can do all these great things, but that's when it'll happen. And so that day, the day of the Lord, begins after the rapture of the church and ends with the conclusion of the millennium, which is that 1,000-year earthly reign of the Lord Jesus on the earth. This day is a major theme of prophecy with its fullest exposition in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. So all I'm doing for these first few minutes is giving us just a little perspective of why we're here with this particular study, okay? First of all, it's part of God's Word. We need to study all of it. But my burden is, Lord, what does all this mean? You see these events happening around our world. We see technology. You see leaders. You see governments. What's going on in the world, okay? So we need to be aware as believers. Secondly, you'll gain confidence in the Word of God. By the way, I'm going to have slides and everything. These are just some kind of introductory remarks I want to have. But when you study prophecy, you gain confidence in the Word of God. Think about it. Prophecies pointing to Christ were fulfilled in every detail, and we can have confidence that future prophetic events will happen in every detail as well. There are some who would come maybe even tonight and they would say, okay, Pastor Brad, you're telling me that what I'm reading now in Revelation 4 and Revelation 7 and Revelation 19, that all of that is going to happen. Absolutely. How can I say that to you with confidence? Number one, it's in the Word of God and it's, you know, inspired by the living God and it's true and it's inerrant without error. But I look at other prophecies. When the prophets would say the Messiah is going to be born and he's going to come from, be in Bethlehem, and here's the signs and here's what's going to happen. And Jesus fulfilled every one of those. So when you study that, it gives me confidence to say everything I'm reading here, even though it might be hard to comprehend or might be hard to understand, or we may not even understand when is this going to happen and what is that going to mean and what is this going to happen here, I can have confidence that God's word is going to come true. So some here tonight are listening. Maybe you don't have that confidence. My prayer is this study will give you that confidence. Let me tell you what end time studies also is encouraging. It shows that God has a purpose and a plan. This world is not spiraling out of control, but it's moving towards a goal. That is super important with everything that's going on today. I meet people and there's just fear in their eyes, isn't there? What's going to happen with this tomorrow? What's going to happen with this today? Where are we going with this? Well, I can tell you right now, when you study where God says, here's what's going to happen here, here's what's going to happen here, you may say, well, what does that impact my life today? I'm going to tell you right now, it gives me confidence that God's in control. And we're moving towards something, and that something is what God has ordained. Our current time is filled with people asking questions about world government, world reaction to things like COVID, America's future, and so forth. So that's why I wanted to spend this semester, okay, the next 3 or 4 months together on Wednesday nights walking through the Revelation. 60% of you raised your hand and said you study Revelation. I don't know what that means. I don't know how detailed that is. I don't know if you'll say like, well, you know, you preached on some of these chapters 5 years ago, Pastor Brad, so I've studied it and I'm all good. You may come and you've got different ideas. You say, well, I think the Lord Jesus is going to come after, you know, the great day of judgment, after the tribulation. Or some will say, we're not even going to go through that. Or some people come to the book of the Revelation and say, it's just an allegory. It's just principles that we can apply, and it's some pictures, and it just kind of talks about this or that. Let me tell you how I'm coming to this tonight, okay? I believe that Jesus is literally coming back. And I believe the best approach to the Word of God, historically, grammatically, taking it literally, okay? And even when you come to the book of the Revelation, that's exactly what I mean, okay? And that's exactly the approach there. So I don't believe when you look at Revelation that all these things already happened in the first century. I don't believe that it's just, you read Revelation and go, okay, here's some pictures of things that are gonna happen on the earth. Certainly every generation looks at end time things and applies them through their lens. But I don't believe the rapture's happened yet. And I don't believe the 1,000-year millennial reign has happened yet. And I think Israel still has a major plan. Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't know everybody's view, okay, coming to this study, but that's where Pastor Brad is. And I just believe those arguments are strongest for when we come to that, okay? So I will do my very best to bring this to you and explain it and apply it and bring clarity to it. I don't know, you know, every answer and nuance. I do want to caution you, I heard a pastor say this years ago, don't always read the book of the Revelation in light of today's news headline. In other words, it wasn't that God gave John this revelation to say, now here's what's going to happen exactly in 2022 when the president addresses America right through that speech. Do you see what I'm saying? Some people try to connect 1,000 dots, and that could be fun. That could be some really cool coffee conversation, but it also gets people maybe a little off track on some things too. So I'm excited about this study. It's why I wanted to do that. I also had a professor years ago. He was teaching classes, and in our class, he said, you know, unfortunately, for a lot of believers, there are just some parts of the Bible, books of the Bible, that he called them, they're like dark pages. In other words, they just don't know them really well. They just maybe have been afraid to go there or talk to them. I don't want that for you guys or for our church or whatever, for the book of the Revelation. It shouldn't be a dark pages where you're going, man, I can't understand most of that. I ain't even studying it. You know, God gave this vision to the church to encourage us, to read it, to learn from it and be encouraged by it, to be inspired by it, you know. And so I want to give you that whole perspective here through all of that. Revelation can be intimidating to many Christians, but I want to encourage us with this. I also want us to know and understand God's word. This book is all about, think about this word, victory, okay? It really is. God gave this vision, the Apostle John, and his revelation is to us an incredible message of victory. I love victory. Last night, our women's basketball team that our daughter plays for, they won the game. It was a hard-fought basketball game, but they experienced victory. And it was encouraging and it was exciting, and there were struggles all the way out, but it was victorious. What you're going to read in the book of the Revelation are battles and challenges and struggles and evil and good and godliness and all these kind of things. But I'm going to tell you right now, believer, the ultimate message of the book of the Revelation is victory. It's victory. So we're going to be on this journey, and some sections are going to be a little more easier to process and digest. There's others where we're going to have to unpack a few things a little deeper, okay? So I will do my best to lead us through this study, to be clear, okay? So I'm excited about that message tonight. It's experiencing this vision of victory. What I've done, even though I've preached some of these messages before, I've not taught through this entire book here at First Exposure, and so we're going to bring all that to bear. But we've given you a handout, because so I'm kind of giving you a lot more of my notes, okay? And maybe there's quotes or studies or references, because it's hard to write all this stuff down. And so we're going to do our best to put these on the screens and give you some fill in the blanks, okay? And I'll kind of teach this rather than just preach it, although all of it's just awesome to preach too. So let's go to Revelation 1, and we'll go through the first three verses tonight. And the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he, it's such a cool verse, man, right out of the gate. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Okay? So I want to walk through the first few verses tonight to kind of put us in motion of Revelation chapter 1. Again, you'll have these slides on the screen. You can fill in the blanks as we go, and it'll be a lot of fun tonight, all right? So let's look at the meaning of the word revelation. Maybe you're here tonight and say, man, I've never even heard this word. I don't even know what this means, okay? The meaning of the word revelation. Yeah, okay, so see, we've got the words in there. In the blank. And I'm not trying to be super simple, but I just know there's some people here tonight, this may be the first time you've ever done any of this, so super glad you guys are here tonight. But the meaning of the word revelation, and so he says that right there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, okay? The word revelation means an unveiling or a disclosure. So God is unveiling something. He's disclosing something, not just to John and to write it down, but to the church. So the word revelation means an unveiling or a disclosure. This vision is not something that just recorded a bunch of historical facts that have taken place. So that's really important, okay? Jesus unveils the events that would happen to the church, this world. Think about this. Satan, Israel, and other important things. So I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to unveil some things, John. I'm going to show you, church, the things that are going to happen. Okay? That's really important to understand. So think about that. Going to happen to the church, this world, Satan, Israel, and other important things. And we're going to unpack all of that in the coming weeks. It's going to be fun. I love what David Jeremiah says. He says the word revelation means the disclosure of that which was previously hidden or unknown. The book of Revelation tells us that Jesus is coming again, how he is coming, and what the condition of the world will be when he comes. Again, think about it. Has Christ returned the second time? No. So that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there are those that would say the revelation, all these things have already happened. What I'm saying is, I think according to the word of God, these are things that have yet to happen, because I know the rapture of the church hadn't happened. I know his second coming hadn't happened. I know Armageddon hadn't happened. You see what I'm saying? So these are things that are future, but we know they're going to happen. Just really, really important. And that's what he's telling us. He's given us this revelation to do that. Before Steph and I had kids, I was going to seminary. We were in North Carolina. I already told you about a hurricane that happened there. But she said, you know, Brad, this community college down the road is offering some classes that you and I could sign up for. We didn't have much money. But she said it wasn't a cooking class. It was a cake decorating class, wasn't it, babe? Cake decorating class. And look, Brad, you love golf. There's even a coach at the nearby country club that you can sign up through this class, and he can teach you how to play golf. She did not, you know, think that would ever happen in my lifetime. But hey, Brad, you go have fun. You know, go do your thing. And it was so cool. She has been masterful in decorating cakes and done some really cool things. And I still hit 123 or something like that in golf. So that class didn't help me very much. But let me tell you what was cool. What the person did for Stephanie, what the coach tried to do with me, was to unveil some things, disclose some things, to say, this is what's going to happen here. And if you'll do this, this is what's going to happen here. They were there to show us some things. God was giving John and the church, he was unveiling something. This is what's going to happen. And I want to show you these things. That's why it's so cool that God would even be merciful to give us this kind of insight. Okay? You remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is, before he ascends into heaven, the disciples are like, hey, is now the time when the kingdom is coming? Is this when you're going to set up your kingdom? And he's like, hey, it's not the time right now to know all of this and this and that. But let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to receive power when my spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's natural to want to know all these things. But I'm just grateful that he gave us this incredible vision. But it's an unveiling. That's what this vision of victory does for all who will listen. It unveils for us what will happen. That's what this vision of victory. Are you guys putting that up there, Jeff? Yep. Well, there's that. What's the next one? No? Okay, I missed one. This vision of victory does for all who will listen. It unveils for us what will happen. And here's what's going to happen, all right? He's got it up there. Think about this. This will help you kind of get this is almost a bird's eye view, a big picture right here, okay? This unveiling is going to disclose to us what will happen, first of all, to the church. So when you read chapters 1-3, you read about this greeting. We'll unpack all of that in the next couple weeks. But then there's a couple chapters that include 7 letters to 7 real churches, okay, that were really there with real pastors, real churches, real problems, real opportunities, and God gave them a specific word. In this particular study, that's a whole other series in and of itself, okay? And we'll do that one day as well. It's awesome to walk through. But we're going to skip over the 7 letters to the churches, and we're going to walk through the rest of the revelation. But what I'm saying is there's an unveiling of, hey, here's a message to the church. So if you're looking at Revelation 22 chapters, you're going, all right, the first 3 chapters, a message to the church. And then here's what's going to happen in the tribulation period. So from chapter 4 through chapter 19, we're going to get to see what's going to happen as God deals with this unbelieving world. Okay? So when you've heard things about Antichrist, when you've heard about the false prophet, when you've heard about Armageddon, when you've heard about, you know, all these kind of things, all of that is in chapters 4 through 19. And it's intense, man. You're talking about the seals, and then you've got the trumpets, and then you've got the bowls of wrath. Whew, son. It's intense. Tribulation period. So that's 4 through 19. Then the kingdom age, that thousand-year millennial reign where Christ has set up his millennial kingdom here on earth, chapter 20, the kingdom age. And then we move into an incredible disclosure of what we simply would title the eternal state, chapters 21 and 22. What's heaven like? What's eternity mean? Okay? So we're going to unpack all of that as well. So what's exciting to me is in our world that is spinning out of control, it is very comforting that there is a God, he's in control, and he has a plan, and we can know that this world is not all there is. I'm grateful that God has chosen to reveal to us this future, okay? It's really, really cool. So hopefully that'll give you just a little bit of, I'm going to break all different points of that stuff down in the coming weeks, but just wanted to give you a big picture there. I want you to understand the revelation. Secondly, I want you to understand the message of the revelation, okay? I want you to understand the message of the revelation. So he says, the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. So this message, this revelation is all about victory, but who does that center on? It's Jesus Christ. Now think about it this way. Jesus is not only the giver of this vision, but he is the subject of the entire revelation. Isn't that something? The Son of God appears to John on that island of Patmos where he was, you know, sentenced by Domitian and said he didn't like you, and this is maybe AD, the church fathers think AD 95, 96. And so this great apostle, and we'll talk about him in a moment even more next week, but Jesus is not only the giver of this vision, but he's also the subject of the entire revelation. So all throughout Revelation, you're going to read about Jesus Christ. So think about it this way. All of the Old Testament looked forward to Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament looked forward to Jesus Christ. The New Testament reveals the first coming of Jesus and the testimony of Christ and how believers can live in the power of Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament, when you think about it, everything pointed to Jesus, right? Even when Moses was delivering the people out of bondage, all of that was a picture of who was going to deliver us ultimately. Jesus. The sacrificial system, Hebrews says, it points to who? Jesus. Everything. When Jeremiah talks about the suffering servant, or Isaiah talks about the suffering servant, and all these things, the new covenant that Jeremiah talked about, everything pointed to Jesus Christ. The New Testament reveals the first coming of Jesus, but this book, this revelation, dramatically is all about Jesus. In the very first chapter right here, we are introduced to a majestic, glorified Jesus. And all through all what will happen to this world, Jesus is in charge. So think about it this way. All throughout this vision, all throughout this revelation, the theme of Jesus is seen, okay? All throughout this revelation, the theme of Jesus is seen. Now, I gave you a lot of different scriptures there. I want to turn just to two or three of them just to kind of get your fingers working there a little bit. And I think there is an error on that original, on your notes there. I put, I think it's 1:5, 1:8, and then I had like 21:6 or something like that. That's not accurate. Anyway, but like, look at, you know, 1:5, okay? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Look over at like chapter 5, Revelation 5, verse 6. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all of the earth. The lamb who was slain. How about Revelation 14:1? You can look at these other ones. I just want to kind of give you just a sampling here. When you're talking about all 22 chapters here, Jesus is all throughout this. Revelation 14:1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Jesus is all throughout this revelation. He not only gives the revelation, he is the main focus and subject of this revelation. Pretty cool. And John makes it clear that Jesus will be seen and heard in all of his majesty at the climax of all these events will be poured out upon the world. I want to give you this entire quote from Dr. W.A. Criswell from a message, from his teaching on this. And I just wanted to read this. It's just a cool synopsis of this reality. The first time our Lord came into this world, he came in the veil of our flesh. His Godhead was hidden by his humanity. Just once in a while did his deity shine through, as on the Mount of Transfiguration or as in his miraculous works. But most of the time, the glory, the majesty, the deity, the wonder and the marvel of the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, were veiled. These attributes were covered over in flesh, in our humanity. The last time that this world saw Jesus was when it saw him hanging in shame and misery and anguish upon the cross. He later appeared to a few of his believing disciples, but the last time that this unbelieving world ever saw Jesus was when it saw him die as a criminal crucified on a Roman cross. But then, is that all the world's ever to see of our Savior? Dying in shame and on a cross? No. Someday this godless world shall see the Son of God in his full character, in glory, in majesty, in the full orb, wonder, and marvel of his Godhead. Then all men shall look upon him as he really is. They shall see him holding in his hands the title deed to the universe, holding in his hands the authority of all creation in the universe above us, in the universe around us, and in the universe beneath us, holding this world and its destiny in his pierced and loving hands. That is the message of the revelation. The giver of it is King Jesus. The subject of it is King Jesus. Okay? So how can we fully grasp the meaning of this revelation? If you're coming to the book of the Revelation, you've never studied it before, maybe you have, but you just have forgotten, you know, a few things or a lot of things. There's just a few things that we need to remember as we study this revelation, okay? So I want to just give you some helpful things that as we walk through this study together. The events in the revelation are stated in symbolic language, okay? Many of these symbols are taken from the Old Testament language and passages. So of the 404 verses contained in the Revelation, 278 are drawn from Old Testament passages. So think about it. When you hear the phrase Lamb of God, Throne of God, Wormwood, Sodom, Babylon, Gog and Magog, Armageddon, these are terms that are all throughout the Old Testament, okay? So while it's going to use language that you may not be familiar with, a lot of the revelation is words we are familiar with if you've studied the Old Testament in any way, shape, or form. But a lot of the events in Revelation are stated in this symbolic way, but they're using imagery that's clearly referenced in the Old Testament, okay? Some symbols that you're going to read about, some symbols have no corresponding parallel in the Bible and are left unexplained. In other words, things like mark of the beast, the image of the beast, the scarlet beast. These are some new symbols where you're going, okay, I don't see that in the Old Testament. What is that exactly? And then you're going to have to look at context and other scriptures to understand that. Other symbols are explained in the Revelation, okay? Other symbols are explained. The seven lampstands is the seven churches. The great day of their wrath is the great tribulation. The scarlet beast is Rome. So these other symbols are explained, okay? So some symbols, you just need to understand the verbiage is straight out of the Old Testament. Vast majority are from the Old Testament. Some symbols or language, you're going, it's not really explained right on its surface, okay? But think about this tonight. These are prophecies of real events, okay? A literal interpretation is vital to understanding the message of this revelation. The seven churches were real churches. These nations are real nations. These earthquakes are real earthquakes. How many of y'all have been in an earthquake before? Raise your hand. Man, I have too. Holy cow. It's scary, man. It's intense. And I promise you it was real. What I'm saying is, even though you go through the book of the Revelation, this is the problem if you go to the book of the Revelation and go, it's just an allegory, it's just imagery, there's principles for the church, but it's not literal, okay? The problem is, those were real churches that he was writing those seven letters to. Real places, real leadership, real issues, okay? These are very real places and references and nations and all kinds of things. So the literal interpretation is very, very important. The key to interpreting the Revelation is knowing what is literal and what is symbolic. But this is important to remember. You say, Pastor Brad, if it's symbolic, what's the real meaning? Think about it. When the Revelation is writing down, okay, what he's seeing, even then we must understand that the symbols reference real people. They reference real situations. They reference real events. Okay? So there's going to be a lot of portions of this where you go, okay, yeah, that's straight up. I see that. That was in the Old Testament. There's this. Well, what's John seeing here? What's he describing here? That's another thing you have to keep in mind. How does John even relate some of these things to us today? How does he even write down what he's viewing? He is seeing things that are so beyond what his world would even develop or imagine, and he's having to write it down. So he's using some symbolic language, but it's definitely referencing real events, okay? He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must, what? Soon take place, quickly take place. It means that when the action comes, it will happen in sudden succession. So even the 7-year tribulation is quick in the scheme of eternity. So it's not so far away that it will never happen. Peter addresses that in 2 Peter 3. There's a lot of people that scoff at the end times and when's all this going to happen? You know, Jesus hasn't come back yet and the world's not been judged like you said it would. And God's time is not our time, okay? With the Lord, 1,000 years is like what? A day. And a day is like 1,000 years. So when we're talking about this is going to happen, the urgency of the revelation is when you start unpacking, when you start getting to chapter 4 and then into 5 and 6 and then on, what he's saying is when this world is lulled to sleep thinking it's got peace, we've got things under control, we've got world government, we've got everything we need, humanity thinks it's in control, I'm telling you, God is going to start unleashing things on this planet like it's never seen before, and in such a rapid succession, it's never dealt with it. That's why he says, boom, soon. The rapture of the church, boom. And the events that are going to happen with that, it is in a major rapid succession. And so that's why he's saying there, he says there, in which these things must soon take place. There's no question the early church was living as if the Lord Christ was coming again for them soon, or the word imminently. I mean, they were living as if Christ was going to call them home and the world was going to be judged. 2,000 years have come and gone, right? So we're closer now than we were before. In our minds, or some people who wouldn't believe in Christ or Christianity, they would say, it's been 2,000 years, Pastor Brad. None of that is true. None of it's going to happen. 2,000 years is nothing in the scheme of eternity. And so even that 7-year period of great tribulation is, I mean, it's going to be mammoth. It's going to be intense. But even in the scheme of eternity, it's going to happen very quickly, very suddenly. What else do we need to understand? The man who received the revelation, okay? He says there at the end of verse 1, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant, John. All right, PB, who is John? Well, he is the one, verse 2, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all what he saw, okay? So John received this vision, wrote it down from an angel that was sent to him. We know that angels are very active throughout this revelation. They have always been active throughout the word of God. The angel here, when he says right there at the end of verse 1, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, he's not named. Many scholars think it is indeed the angel Gabriel. Gabriel brought messages to Daniel, Mary, Zechariah. Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. Daniel chapter 9, Luke 1. So the question is, who is John? The early church was almost unanimous in its belief that it is indeed John the Apostle, the same apostle who wrote the Gospel of John and the three epistles, the Apostle John. And really, when you look at church history, most people have affirmed that. John faithfully testified to the first coming of Jesus. John chapter 19, verse 35, John chapter 21, verse 24, 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. And now John is faithfully testifying to the vision that he receives here. This was another eyewitness from the great Apostle John. Think about that. The Apostle John, following the Lord Jesus Christ, saw him nailed to a cross, killed, knew that he rose from the dead. He testified to the things that he saw from a risen Lord Jesus. And now he's testifying to things that the risen Lord Jesus is revealing to him about the future. It's the Apostle John. And it was written not just for those seven churches, but they knew the church would read that and needed to read all of it. So God used him in a phenomenal way. What does John see? He sees a moving progression of events. He sees a moving progression of events. That's what John sees. And this is important too when we're unpacking all this in the coming weeks. These events will often be revealed in a big picture, and then smaller details will follow. Okay? So when we read, you know, when you get to the seals, okay, the seals on the scroll, when you get to the trumpets, oftentimes you'll get a glimpse of something, you see the big picture, and then he starts to break it down a little bit smaller picture as well, okay? So he sees a moving progression of events. These events will often be revealed in big picture. Dr. Ed Heinsohn, I've always loved his teach. I think he's taught here at First Exposure before, but he was at Liberty University for many, many years. There's several authors, Dr. Robert Thomas, Dr. Paige Patterson, whose commentary, Revelation. I remember bringing that commentary, had just come out about 4 or 5 years ago, and Dr. Patterson preached on, I think he preached a message from Revelation, and he brought like 80 copies of this brand new commentary that people had been waiting for years to get. And I thought, 80 copies of this commentary, there's no way those are going to be sold tonight. They were sold out in like 15 minutes. Because people just, you know, it's really cool to kind of sit down with something and just absorb all these kind of things. But I referenced Dr. Ed Heinsohn several times throughout this series and so forth. But I love what he does. He's very clear. That's one of the things that I like about the other authors too. So Christ appears to John. So this is the progression of events, all right? Christ appears to John on Patmos, chapter 1. He dictates the letters to the seven churches. So he writes down, this is the message for these churches, which are on earth, happening there in chapters 2 and 3. Then John is transported into God's throne room in heaven, okay? So he's on Patmos, he's on the earth, he's in heaven, chapters 4 and 5. And then he sees these future judgments from heaven. It's an amazing moment for the apostle. I mean, he just gets this glorious opportunity to record for the body of Christ. Let me write down as best I can under inspiration of the Holy Spirit what the Lord is revealing to me, what's going to happen in the future. So he sees these future judgments from heaven, chapters 6 through 11. John sees the seven symbolic players from heaven and earth, chapters 12 and 13. When you talk about the Antichrist and all these kinds of different players that are going to happen, he sees the seven last plagues from heaven, chapters 14 through 18. John witnesses the marriage of the Lamb in heaven and his triumphal return to the earth in chapter 19. He views the millennial kingdom, that thousand-year reign on earth, chapter 20. And then John sees the new heaven and the new earth in eternity, chapters 21 and 22. So I'm just trying to build on, kind of put this in your brain a little bit about where this is going and what he sees. I also want you to understand fourth tonight, the marvelous blessing of the revelation. Look at verse 3. Don't miss this. This is what I was saying right at the very outset. If you're coming here just to get some facts about things, facts are great. Facts are really good. But my prayer as a pastor and preacher, and frankly, just as a fellow believer, this needs to move our hearts. This needs to move our lives. This needs to move our ministry. Look at this incredible exhortation. Verse 3, an affirmation. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it. There's a marvelous blessing of this revelation. So reads, hear, keep. It is one thing to read this vision of victory and another to believe it. So I don't know who's all here tonight. You may have just come with a friend tonight and say, man, I'm not sure I believe any of this. Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, there is no greater blessing than not just hearing about Jesus Christ, but believing in Jesus Christ and following him. When Steph and I moved to Louisiana 8 years ago, I'm telling you, before God, I had never had a king cake in my life. I didn't know what a king cake was. I didn't know what the little, what's in a king? It's a baby. Yeah, a baby is in a king cake. I'm like, what is this? But I'd heard about them for, you know, a while after I'd moved here. And man, when someone brought me one of these holy cow, do you remember that stuff? And we got to have it. It was cinnamon and it had the stuff in it. And then there's a little baby. It changed my life. I'd heard about the king cake, but until I tasted it, till I really absorbed it, did I really know, oh yeah, that's pretty special. It's one thing to read and hear this revelation. It's another to say, God changed my life. And I want to believe in Jesus Christ. This one that is giving this revelation and it unveils what he's going to do to this world. It's amazing. A lot of people know about Christ, they just don't know him personally. And I would say this, Romans, when we're almost done here, a few minutes. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, for while we were still helpless, at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's amazing that this one named Jesus, that this revelation is all about, that he knew what was coming. I'm talking about he knew in the future what was going to happen in this world, and he knew that to all who did not put their faith in Jesus, he knows what would happen to them. The revelation is, it's a blessing and a burden. Because to read this, you realize that all who are in Christ are blessed. All who are in Christ, I believe, are going to be raptured before the great tribulation. Doesn't mean we're not going to experience tough times, but I would contend that what John was shown is the great tribulation, the great day of wrath, the great day of God's judgment. And I believe that all who are in Christ at the time of the rapture in that generation will not go through that. What I'm saying is it ought to move us to say, wow, I'm blessed because I'm in Christ, but I'm also burdened to know what's coming, you know? And if you're not a believer, you ought to be burdened to say, what do I need to do to follow Christ? So I want that, even as we're unpacking facts and truths and all these things of what this revelation, let's be burdened as a church body to say, Father, what do I need to do now to share the hope of Jesus? It ought to move us as a church. And then finally tonight, the moment is now to experience revelation. And so just to build on that in verse 3, he says, for what? The time is near. The time is near. We don't know. I kind of was joking. Okay, I really was a few weeks ago. Like, I know the day Christ is going to return. I don't. Just thought I'd let you know. You don't have to come back if that's what you're hanging your hat on, but I think you got to stick with me a little bit. What I'm saying is this season of God judging this world in an intentional way, it's nearer than we realize. That's why it's so powerful when you read 2 Peter 3 and he says, you know, the scoffers will come, just like in the days of Noah. Remember, he's building that ark and, you know, you're talking about a flood, you're talking about judgment, you're talking about, when's it going to happen? And man, when it started to rain, it's like, whoa. And people do that today all the time, right? It's like, well, he's not even come. You're talking about this judgment. You read the revelation. I heard Billy Graham preaching about that 50 years ago. I'm going to tell you, the time is near. This season of God judging the world is nearer now than we realize. The end time of all these events is near. And this vision is terrible and exciting all at the same time. It's terrible for all who've not put their faith in Christ. And it's really exciting for all to know Jesus and are ready. And I just love that. I think I put that in your notes, the story about Johnny Carson, Billy Graham. Did I put that in your notes? Did I not? Okay. You guys know who Billy Graham is? Okay, he's with the Lord today. Johnny Carson? I'm not going to comment on his life. I don't know Brother Johnny, but it's interesting. Johnny Carson, King of Late Night, had Billy Graham on as a guest on The Tonight Show years ago. And at one point, in the lull in the conversation, Johnny said, "You know what, Billy? I bet if Jesus ever came back to earth, we would do him in again." And Billy Graham leaned forward in his seat and said, "In the Bible, we read that Jesus will someday return to earth again. And the first time he came in love, the next time he'll come in power, and no one will do him in." You know what I'm saying? See, I get pumped about that, man. I'm like, let's roll, baby. Let's go. When I see all this stuff going on, when I was in high school, it was awesome to know the opportunity and hope of the rapture right before that final exam. Got me through college on some test days at the hope. It could be right now, please, King Jesus, you know. What I'm saying is, let whatever intimidation about the book of the Revelation move you to say, "Father, I'm humbly coming to your word. Teach me, show me, encourage me, convict me." That's my prayer. I don't want this just to be a study to say I went on a Wednesday night and I studied more of the Bible. I want God to do something in our hearts. I want God to do something in our hearts every week, right, on Sundays and so forth. But I'm excited about this time. I tell you what, there's going to be more people that'll come. And there are people that, you know, got sick or just said, "Hey, PB, I was trying to be there tonight. I just couldn't come," or this came up. Let's covenant together. Let's invite a friend at some point over the next few weeks. I dare say everybody in Bossier and Shreveport needs to know this truth. You see? So maybe tell somebody over coffee, "Hey, PB's going to tell you when Christ is coming again next week." There's a lot of truth that I am telling you he's coming again. I don't know the exact day or the hour, but what I'm saying is more people around you than you realize are asking these questions. They are in spiritual darkness more than we can even imagine. And I think it'd be a shame for us to go through all this and never bring somebody along in that journey. Who knows what God wants to do in their heart and life? So if you guys will, I'm going to close this in prayer. It's almost 7. I thought I did pretty good tonight. But if you would, if you've got a few questions, okay? Like I said, we'll just build on each chapter and section and so forth. But is Lorraine in here? Did she have to slip out? What I'm saying is, if you guys could, Kevin, do you mind collecting all those? I don't know if there's a bucket or a bucket, KFC bucket, something. He'll just gather them for you. Kevin Goodwin back here, head of our security, awesome man of God, love him. If you guys will just hand those note cards to him, he'll collect those, right? I'm so glad you guys came. If you brought a child, please take them home. And and Sunday is church, and we're pumped. So many people have been encouraging with that, church life and living our mission. And so I'm going to pray for us, and we will wrap it up tonight. Father, I thank you so much for this vision of victory. And it is, just honestly, Father, it's just a little overwhelming to kind of look at what all's going on in our world today. And it was a simpler time, no doubt about it, just years ago. And yet, Father, you've accelerated things for a reason. You're bringing things to fruition for a reason. The time, as your word says, really is near. So, Father, I pray that it would move our hearts, number one, for our own lives to be right with you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the forgiveness that he offers so freely, God. The love that he offers us, the acceptance, the hope. And so, Father, in this world, we live with confidence and courage. Maybe even tomorrow, God, as you're using your word to stir our hearts, that maybe it's an opportunity for us to have a conversation with somebody, or maybe to start a conversation. And maybe they come to church with us on a Sunday or to midweek next Wednesday night. I pray that you would just strengthen our hearts together, encourage our hearts. Lord, where there's things that we don't quite understand, we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd give us understanding. And Father, I pray that you would just continue to knit our hearts together. We would be a mighty force for your glory. God, you're good, you're awesome, and worthy to be praised. Can't wait till Sunday, the Lord's Day, but help us to make this day count for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Thank you so much for being here tonight.